Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. Now, listen, I know you're out there, you're closing deals, you're making money, you're turning prospects into profits, so I got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on awesome guests, the kind of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is no exception. Now, today's show is going to be a part two in a very interesting topic, freedom of speech. Yes, that's right, freedom of speech we're talking about here on the Profit Express. And today's guest is Scott Baker. He's an improv comedian. He is one half of the improv duo with Vinnie Mark. It is the Quickest Thinkers in Comedy. And if you haven't seen part one, go back to iTunes, go back to Spotify. It's on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube as well, by the way, to see part one. Now, you're saying, well, hey, it's the Profit Express, freedom of speech, not a typical topic, and you're right. But when freedom of speech is impacting the business of comedy, for those people who are making their lives and their livelihoods on comedy, it's something I wanted to tackle. And listen, hey, I own a show. Not own a show, but I host a show, I should say. And who knows, would it impact me one day? I don't know. And even if you are the accountant or if you are the pizzeria owner, we all have to be aware when freedom of speech is encroaching into business and into how people are being creative and how they're making their livings. So that's why I want to tackle.
Like to buy a vowel?
Can I really, Jesus, tackle the topic here on the Profit Express? Thankfully, Scott Baker is here. Welcome back for part two.
I'm going to help you tackle.
Yes, thank you. Always when I need some bailing out, you're the one. But listen, you're a fan favorite. You're my mom's favorite guest.
She's a lovely woman.
You're the favorite guest here in the Profit Express for her.
And an intelligent one.
She is. Yeah. She is. So this is part two. And we talked about freedom of speech and the impact it's having on the business of comedy. And I spoke about, you know, some of the icons, you know, the Jerry Seinfelds, the Jay Lenos, Ricky Gervais, really talking about it. They're concerned about it. And it's something that's been happening for a while. And so I want to have you on. Now, you've been in the business for how many years as an improv comedian?
I started when I was 17, but then I left to be, you know, a boxer.
You're a police officer,
a cop.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
Finished school. And then I came back after I got hurt. So I've been, now I've been a working, actually paid,
right,
you know, like making a living for about 15 years.
About 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, about 15 years.
Okay. So how long, so in the 15 years.
Wow, that sounds long when I just said it. I didn't realize I was getting paid that long. Very, very fortunate.
Well, people are paying you, which is, no, you got you got a great act.
I really just, when I said it out loud, I was like, wow, how fortunate am I to do something I enjoy doing, you know? That's really great.
That you love and that you're great at.
One out of two, I love it.
No, come on, I've seen your act many times.
Yeah, we're really fortunate. Awesome. We got a good thing going. We carved our own niche.
Yeah, and it's awesome. So, Don Rickles. You've seen him a number of times. I saw him about 15 years ago. Now, he's passed away. Mm-hmm. Some maybe younger listeners of the Profit Express might not know Don Rickles as well.
Which is a shame.
Right. He's a legend. He's a classic. And but his routine, his bit, was about making fun, having fun with everybody.
That's right.
Okay, all walks of life, all backgrounds, all religions.
That's right.
Could there be another like him today?
You know, times are always changing, right?
Right.
People say, oh, you couldn't do what Rickles does on stage today. Technically, no, you couldn't. However, the way social media is, I've seen some people with so little talent making far greater dollars than I have. And the way they did it is pretty amazing. Can I learn social media? Can I learn how to? Absolutely. Do I want to be bothered? No. I'm at the stage where financially, thank God, I have a roof over my head.
Right,
I'm
right.
Good. And now I'm doing it really strictly for enjoyment. And yeah, you want to get paid, of
sure.
course.
Right.
But you know, it's a life work balance type thing.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you're on Instagram so I can get some downloads and likes out of you. But geez,
but I used to be handsome, so that was all pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
I know it's gone now. So what am I doing on Instagram? Give me something where you can't see my face. So, the way they do it now is, in years ago, you.
So wait, so all right, let me interrupt. So my question was, could there be another Don Rickles? And you said technically no.
Technically no, because it can't be another Don Rickles. No, because Don Rickles, if this is going to make sense on how I'm about to explain it, Rickles did stuff in nightclubs and resorts.
Right.
And he built a following, and they knew the way it was back in the day was people would come to a resort, Rickles would make them laugh, or a nightclub, and they would say, that place puts on great shows. There was no social media.
Sure, of course.
So I think I saw a guy named Don something, or a guy Rickles. Whatever. It wasn't until you got on The Tonight Show, or he got on, like, in those days... the Ed Sullivan Show.
Sure.
You know, those guys, you know, the late night talk shows.
Right.
The Carson Show.
You get your
show.
Breakthrough moments.
Yeah. Well, then you were a household name.
Yeah.
Now you can be a household name on TikTok, you know, or household with the TikTok virtual, you know.
Yeah, an influencer or following.
So let's just say I'm offensive.
Right.
But I still, now I can reach this 300, was there a billion people on Facebook? Right?
Yeah, I don't know the numbers.
So I'm offensive. And there's, if that's just for argument's sake, there's not a billion people.
Right.
For argument's sake, it's close to that.
Yeah, yeah.
900 million people are offended and they cannot stand me.
Right.
Okay. But I have 100 million people that love me, right? Because I reach them that way. So I don't need you to book me.
Right.
I'm going to go and get my own room at a hotel, a ballroom, or a Knights of Columbus, or wherever it is, or a theater. And what they do is called four wall. I'll rent the place out. Put out social media. These people will come see me. I'll charge them $70-$80 a ticket or whatever. And I'll make myself a fortune. I'll get a podcast. 900 million people will want to cancel me. 100 million people will love me.
Right.
And I'll have 100 million listeners on those podcasts.
Right.
And I will be a millionaire.
Right, right.
A billion, 100 million. You know.
You'll so be doing well. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's different. Can you be another Rickles? Yeah, you can't do it the way Rickles did it. So if you're just going and going, I'm going to go to this club. No, we're not going to hire you. You're going to have to put those fannies in the seats yourself. There's a guy who owns.
So the nightclubs themselves, the venues, these theaters, they're looking at the talent. They're looking at the comedians much differently.
Much differently.
So they really want to know. Listen, they always want to know your act. You have a following. Obviously, are you going to put people in the seats? But now it's not just is Scott and Vinny, is their act funny? You know, the quickers thinkers in comedy.
Right.
But okay, now we have to, as owners of the venue, you know, how offensive are they? Are they offensive?
Right.
Is it going to be controversial?
If they don't really care, it's like the NFL. We want to support women and we don't want anybody who's mean to women unless they can rush for 1,000 yards. Then we'll make an exception and hire you back on. We are against anybody who commits crimes with dog fighting and cruelty to animals. Except if we need a backup quarterback like Michael Vick, then I'm back in the league. So, you know, it's very hypocritical, you know. And the same thing goes with a lot of these venues. In other words, I'm not going to hire Tim or Joe or Mike or whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to hire them if they're offensive and I have to bring the crowd in because that'll hurt my club. However, if you have your own following, I don't care who doesn't come because you're going to guarantee me I have a 300-person club. You're going to fill the seats. I'm going to get all of the drinks at a 2-drink minimum. I'm charging $15 a drink. So I'm getting 600 drinks at $15. I'm making $9,000. You're doing 2 shows a night. I'm making $18,000, and I don't do anything for the day because your podcast, your social media is going to pack the place. I don't do anything.
Right.
And I was I know two club owners. One is Governor's, great guy, and another one is used to own Foxwoods Comedy Club. Now he owns the one in Mohegan Sun. They just moved over.
Sure.
And they've gotten these YouTubers.
Right.
And these owners. I like these owners. They're great guys.
Sure.
They've always been fair to me. They put on good shows. They're great. They when I've had conversations with them, they are the YouTubers that they hired. People with social media followings. They've literally said to me, "I think the guy's stupid." As a matter of fact. People have walked out on him because what happens with these people with YouTubers or Instagram, they have a 5-minute funny segment and also they got these big fans. But to get them to do 45 minutes of comedy, they're not they're not funny.
Yeah.
So
year after year. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the people that come there, if they're offended or they went too far or they don't like them, they walk out. They don't say Governors or Mohegan Sun's not funny. They say Joe Schmo wasn't funny. I was disappointed.
Right.
So it's not a strike on the club. Right. They're not canceling the club. They'll go and cancel that guy so the club owner can bring him in. So if you have your following, like Dice Clay is extremely offensive by today's standards, yeah, right? But people, he'll sell out because people who aren't offended are going to go see him. There was a guy on the circuit years ago. I don't know if he's still doing it. I don't know if college is because he doesn't have. Now I think he's one that's been canceled. Perhaps, maybe I'm speaking out of turn. I don't know. I just don't see him advertised.
Right.
John Valby, Dr. Dirt. He used to go to campuses.
I remember that guy back in the day. Yeah,
completely
yeah.
offensive. Even right. back then, it was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, get a little cringe.
I mean, it was like,
yeah.
this guy has got hair dolls in his basement. I wouldn't want my kids anywhere near him. Don't go trick-or-treating at his house type guy. He's a freaking nut job.
Right.
But he would sell out.
Right.
And people would have him. And college, he made a living. Now, I've never seen him around. No way. There's no way in, no way that a college is going to have him. No way.
Now, if you think about it, the whole college scene, you know, because that used to be a big thing. And I think it was either Leno or Seinfeld said, yeah, I don't do colleges anymore.
Seinfeld and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And Leno.
And you'd think, you know, what kind of, obviously it's been many years since I've been in college, but like, you know, an environment where you're going to have kids just, you know, having fun and having a comedian, and you would think it's yeah. a perfect kind of combination, but.
Well, when you went to college, did they have shows at Apex Tech?
I don't remember. I'd have to get back to you on that.
Does truck driving 18-wheeler school have comedy shows?
No, I don't recall. Yeah. I don't recall. But all right, so let me ask you this. So today we're talking about freedom of speech's impact on the business of comedy. So you've been in the business for 15 years,
yeah.
actually getting paid. Wow. Your ability to sell yourself is pretty
what
tremendous.
What are they drinking?
So as your act has evolved over the years, and in part one of our interview, you had mentioned how you've really been noticing the cancel culture's impact on comedy and the freedom of speech, you know, questions around comedy, probably right. about 4 or 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Has it impacted your creative process?
Even before all this happened, we prided ourselves on all-inclusive fun.
Right.
You know, because we do family shows on one night, and we can do an uncensored show on the other night.
Right.
Which we call an R-rated show. We're just not big curse word people.
Right, okay.
But innuendos, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, sure.
So one show we do is at the Cove Haven Resorts one
right.
night, and that's for all honeymooners, and, you know, and they want, you know, sexual material.
Sure.
But nothing of, you know, nothing, but, you know,
the innuendos is funny. Funny. Yeah, sure.
And then next time at Rocking Horse Ranch, and I got 8-year-olds in the audience, you know? So we're lucky we can do that, because our show is based off the audience. As far as creativity goes, yeah, you can't, you know, we look at each other and go, okay, we see where this is going, so we took the North Korean bit out, and
right.
we made up our own country.
Right.
But it always stood by going, how come you're offended by the North Korean, but you're not offended by the Irish, the Italian,
right.
the English accent?
Right.
You know, we're making them look silly. Silly, not making fun of, but we're making them silly. So we don't do political. You know, we did two political bits, actually. One was my old partner, who's very talented, Al Isaacs, he did something which to this day is very funny about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vinny came up with something about Biden, and they were both spontaneous.
Right.
But we got a complaint about Biden, not about the Trump one. And neither one of them were attacking.
Right.
Neither joke was attacking. It was just spontaneous, off the cuff, and both crowds laughed. But again, you're going to have somebody who's going to be ultra sensitive.
Yeah, but presidents have been made fun of George W. Bush, Reagan, all of them. All of them.
Yeah. Rickles went to the White House to make fun of Reagan. Reagan loved it.
I saw
it's
that.
Hysterical.
Yeah, that's on YouTube. It's hilarious.
And he hit everybody. He hit Democrats, Republicans, men, women, everybody.
Yeah.
And
see that on YouTube. Yeah. That clip of Rickles performing for Reagan.
It'll take
awesome.
You back on how a pro does it.
Yeah.
Has fun with you. And makes you beg to be attacked by him, and
right.
you shouldn't get offended.
Right, right, right. You know? So, well, listen, I said it earlier, as Ricky Gervais said, you know, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
I love that. I never heard that, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. That's why, you know, kind of doing some research for the show today, yeah. I'd come across that.
That's a great line.
Yeah, it really is. And listen, there's definitely some comedians who touch on topics, and there's, you know, the whole thing about comedy being society's truth tellers, being the people who are willing to stand on the edge talking about the controversial topics, the dark topics, you know, do you want to lose that? And it's not just about the laughs, but also shouldn't, you know, good comedians also get you thinking?
For me, it's about the laughs, because other than then you're a lecturer. You know, like some people love George Carlin, but George Carlin was very cerebral and then could turn it into fun.
Right.
Some people think Bill Maher is cerebral or Dennis Miller. They're cerebral.
Right.
But if you don't get the laugh at the end, you're not a comedian.
Right.
So you got to be going somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Look at the late night talk show hosts. They're talentless. You put them up against a Johnny Carson's
talent. They've
gotten
bad.
Oh. They're horrendous.
Yeah.
They're horrendous. All they want to do is bash someone they don't like, so the audience goes, woo, where's the laugh? I don't care you bashing, politicians are open, celebrities are open.
Right.
But be funny.
Right.
Be talented.
Right.
Just calling someone a curse word or thinking that you can take a curse word and make it into a different thing, you're not funny. You're saying, where's the funny part?
Right.
Where's the funny part? Like I said, I had two partners, you know, both very talented, both made a joke about Trump, one made a joke about Biden. I thought both were creative, both got great equal amount of laughs.
Right.
I still laugh about it, regardless of what, it's funny.
Yeah.
It was funny, you know?
Well, again, if it can make you laugh, and even if they're making fun of your guy, whoever your guy is,
doesn't matter.
If they, because listen, both all presidents have, you know, their mannerisms, their caricatures, what they say, the gaffes, and all that, and it's funny to make fun of it, no matter which one you're on,
right?
Which side you're on, I should say.
Calling someone an effing a-hole is not funny. There's no creativity.
Right,
in that.
Right.
Show me something. I'll give you like the example. So when Al brought something up, we had a scene where it was if someone gives us the Trump inauguration.
Right.
So we do it unpolitically.
Right.
So instead of making fun of Trump, we do it as his two secret servicemen clearing the way to make sure it's safe. That's the scene, and that's where the funny comes in. So now we're not political.
Right.
But there was something that Al came up with, which is very funny, the MAGA hat.
Right? Oh, yeah.
MAGA hat. And all of a sudden he just comes out with, which stands for My Attorney Got Arrested. Boom!
Right.
It was when his attorney got arrested. So it was very poignant. It was funny.
Right.
If you're a Trump fan, you got to laugh at that.
Yeah.
Freaking funny.
Right, right.
If you're not a Trump fan, you're going to laugh even harder because you're like, yeah, it's Attorney. But it's funny. It didn't make fun of his supporters. It didn't make, you know what I mean? It was funny. And the thing we did about Biden was, since it's off the cuff with Vinny, I said, just came out one night. The thing is, we want to let the audience know that the show's off script.
It's improv,
it's
right.
Improv.
Yeah.
So Vinny goes, I don't know what Scott's going to say. And I said, I don't know what Vinny's going to say. And we certainly don't know what you were going to say. So if this thing works out, we're comedic geniuses. And if it doesn't, it's your fault because you're supposed to have the energy. But all kidding aside, we really have no clue what we're doing. And
right.
Vinny comes out with, we call it the Joe Biden show. Boom.
Right.
Everybody laughs because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
It's
right.
funny. It's making, you didn't make fun of Gerald Ford or Ronald Reagan when they were falling down, called Bush stupid.
Bush and all the things that he.
Yeah, we didn't call him an effing a-hole. We didn't call his supporters jerk offs.
Right, right.
Anybody who really doesn't think, anyone who thinks Joe Biden's sharp as a tack, you know, you're a little biased, okay? I mean, come on. I'm not delegating to policy or human anything, but he's not a sharp guy, you know? But it was funny. And, you know, so that person at that show, one person, you had me until all of a sudden you lost me right away when you said something about Joe Biden. Well, I don't know what to tell
you.
If you can't have fun with that,
right.
But you see the other 400 people in here, they laugh. So I'll take the sacrifice. You know.
But this is interesting. You get back into the business of comedy, and you know we talked about Rickles earlier. You know, and he grew up in Vegas, obviously, and then he gets his breaks on Carson, et cetera. Yeah. Certainly well before social media. All that. But now comedians, the up-and-comers, okay, they, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud as we're talking here, Scott, it's almost as if because of the reliance on social media to get the following, to have the clubs take you seriously, do you think that impacts their performance, their acts, bits.
Sure, because they write material. We just go off what the audience says. So if the audience, if we find, is going down.
Yeah, yeah. Again, for those listening, you know, improv is very much off the cuff. Obviously, it's improvisation for somebody who's got, you know, one-liners or jokes or punchlines in a performance, right?
Right, right.
So you think they'd be more impacted?
They're totally more impacted because if you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to write about gay marriage.
Right.
Okay, it could have nothing to do with your pro or con about gay marriage.
Right.
Seinfeld said something, or his bit was, along the line. I'm not going to do it justice because he's, you know, not, it's not what I do.
Right.
But he said, you know, what's wrong? You know, gay marriage. I think you'd want to have gay marriage. Let's face it, you look for somebody the same size right away. You double your wardrobe. You know.
Right. Right.
Now, when you do that now, people are going, oh, he's talking about gay people. They're still going to, oh no, what's going to happen? What's the shoe going to drop?
Right.
Even if you're not saying something offensive, you've already now, because of the way society is, many people are like,
the flag goes up.
Yeah, the flag goes
up. Right, right.
So now, all of a sudden, now I got to calm myself down to laugh again. You know.
All right, let's get off the topic of comedy for a moment, and this is just more personal opinion. So if we're talking about the impact of freedom of speech and people's sensitivities, what's your opinion on comedy in movies? Have movies, or are movies as funny as they used to be? I know it's very tough question.
It's subjective. I personally, up until about 5 years ago, I think they were really funny because they really started to push the envelope as far as bringing things in the open,
right,
and making the uncomfortable comfortable. Now you can't be uncomfortable anymore. If you, there are some movies that like Role Models,
right,
Superbad. Vince Vaughn was great at, mm-hmm, you know, making things kind of uncomfortable.
Sure.
He's, you know, a great improviser, by the way. He's phenomenal. But, you know, those are, forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are all things that were like, boom, 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 laugh a minute. Now, I don't know. I mean, are you offended if a guy cries too much? If you're offended if a guy's macho too much in a movie? Are you allowed to talk about a woman being a nag? Are you allowed? Because you couldn't do Blazing Saddles today. You know you couldn't do Blazing. It would never get greenlit. Blazing Saddles would never get greenlit today.
Yeah.
It wouldn't. Airplane would never get greenlit. You'd have to pull out the white woman going over to the black guys on the plane going, excuse me, I speak jive. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Could, God forbid, yeah, you offend, yeah, somebody, yeah, not even a black person. You offend a white person who wants to say, I'm offended for that black person. Meanwhile, you know, people are laughing. It reaches comedy should reach across all ethnic lines. We should laugh with each other. There is a line when you make, if you're singling people out and just making fun of their stereotype.
Okay,
constantly,
all right, so
that's too much.
That's a good point then. So, you know, you want to preserve freedom of speech. You know, will people be offended? Will people not like acts? Absolutely. It's right. It will be guaranteed to happen. But can you even in the conversation of freedom of speech, can you even say, you know, what is off limits? Is there anything off limits?
I think if your common sense should prevail, you know, our grandparents were a lot smarter than we were. You know, let the free market let the free market prevail. Okay, if you're rallying people to hate against one group, you know, yeah, then you cancel them. You can't play in my club. We don't promote that stuff.
Right, fine. Okay.
You know what I mean? That's just common sense.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there making or having, you know, a joke,
mm-hmm,
you know, who are you to say that it goes too far? It's a great example. Let the market dictate. I didn't like you. I'm not going back. We had a guy open one time. It was early on. He was just making his bones. You know what I mean? He didn't want to listen. Had a joke. I couldn't even believe he was going to do it. I was like, don't do that joke.
Right.
My partner and I,
right,
I was with Al Isaacs at the time, I said, don't do that joke. Don't do that joke. It's, first of all, it's not funny.
Right.
Second of all, as soon as you mention it, people are going to recoil.
It's like a cringe kind of joke.
It's a cringe joke because Long Island has been hit with breast cancer for years.
Right.
And
yeah,
he was
going
to have a breast cancer joke.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you trust me when I tell you, don't do that joke.
Right.
He didn't even get through the joke. He just brought up the word. Because there are women in the audience,
yeah,
families in,
yeah,
the audience. They're not listening to the rest of the joke. But now, he totally bombed on that. Got
so
off
he didn't
stage.
Listen to your advice. He does, no, a joke anyhow.
Did a joke anyhow.
All
so
right.
The market prevailed and made him know that was stupid.
Right.
It wasn't offensive. It was stupid. You know, people are going, I'm offended by it. It's like, that's just dumb. I lost my mother. I lost my wife. I lost my sister.
Unfortunately,
I lost my,
yeah,
child.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a dumb joke. Use your freaking,
right,
head. Know,
right,
your audience.
Right.
But let that market prevail. That guy obviously learned that lesson from that. But what if he made a joke about, oh, my wife's a nag. Oh, I don't like the way you're depicting women. Then don't come to my show.
Right.
If you're offended, you know what I mean? There's a line to,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
you know? So.
Well, listen, again, having, you know, in a free market, you know, if people like your pizza, they're going to come back. If,
right,
they think you're funny and you, you know, you make them laugh, it's simple. They're going to come back. But to me, even if a comedian goes out there, and he tries something, and he pushes the, I would actually encourage a comedian to push an envelope, to say something to me, you know, that would be completely offensive. I would yell at the TV, or, you know, I would get up and walk, whatever, than for him not to try something like that. So I would encourage that, but then also, people like that, they shouldn't lose their jobs. They shouldn't lose their professions.
I will stick up for them. Like I said,
no matter how bad it is, it's like, learn a lesson. You know, you got to be smart.
Right.
But you can't lose your livelihood over it.
No,
in my opinion.
Who am I? Who am I to say you shouldn't? Remember, I don't know if there are younger fans, older fans out there, Vita Blue, who's a phenomenal pitcher for the Oakland A's.
Right.
So he was in the running for the Cy Young, or just won the Cy Young. And then some reporter goes, what do you feel about the stance of Vietnam? And he's looking at me like, I'm a pitcher. I just won the Cy Young. What do I know about, you know, I have my opinion, but what do you care about my opinion?
Right,
better than anybody else's.
Right.
You know? In other words, he was saying, not that I'm ignorant, not that I don't have an opinion,
right,
but my opinion is no better than the Bakers or the plumbers or anybody
else's. Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I cringe when I even look at the people on The View. I think they're horrendous. I think they're not talented. I think they're ignorant, blah, blah, blah. Do I want to see them canceled? That's up to the people who watch or don't watch.
Right.
I'm not signing any petition saying they should be canceled.
Yeah.
No, if people want to watch them, they're not rallying. I mean, if they're rallying people for violent behavior or something, then they should be canceled because they shouldn't have a platform.
Right.
But if it's just stating their opinion.
Yeah, you don't like their opinion, you don't like their comedy, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. No, because if I cancel you, then what's to say in 6 weeks that's not going to come back and boomerang and cancel me or cancel someone I do support or think is funny? No, I don't want to see them canceled. And that's how I think we should all really stick together on that, because that's what separates this country in history, that we are allowed to do that. They're not rounding you up.
Right. I think the comedians, and quite frankly, I'm glad, they are making a stand. The likes of not just the Scott Baker, as big as you are, as much of a living legend as you are. But some of, the people, the Jay Lenos of the world, the Jerry Seinfelds, they're like, enough of this already. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
But it's funny because it had to happen to both political sides. It started canceling the right. First, years ago, it started canceling the left because you had a big evangelical presence that said, I don't want that on television.
Right.
Well, we can't have that. You have to be mom and pop, apple pie America.
Yeah.
And that went on for many, many, many years, where if you did something risque on TV, you were canceled.
Sure.
Sponsors. Canceled.
Music and the censorship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Canceled.
Yeah.
And that was too far. And now it went over way too far to the other side.
Yeah.
Where if you did anything, you can. Now all of a sudden it came back. It's coming back to the left. So Bill Maher says something there. Look to cancel him. Dave Chappelle, they look to cancel him. Now both sides are starting to speak up and go, this is ridiculous.
Let's take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
Right.
It's not offensive like Ricky Gervais. Just because you don't like it or just because you're offended doesn't mean it's wrong.
You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. Whatever you said, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
And I think now both sides are starting to come. And usually things do kind of go in full cycle, and they do, because when it doesn't work, people have big egos. They don't like to admit they're wrong. They just kind of change course a little bit without admitting they were wrong. I don't know. I know the apology has gone by the wayside. I don't know. I teach this in our seminars, for improv. When you're wrong, call that pink elephant in the room. Go, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. Let me change that.
Right, right.
But be sincere about it. Don't just because someone complains about it admit you're wrong. But that's gone out of wayside. So now instead of admitting you're wrong, I call it, arrogance in wealth. A lot of these people who are very wealthy or have power never want to admit they're wrong.
Right.
There's an old saying, I used to hear from my father, people who have a lot of people with the most dollars have the least sense. You know what I mean? Because they don't want to admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
And that power stroke, ego stroke. So I think you see that a lot. So now instead of admitting they're wrong, it's going to come back around, I think. People are just going to get burnt out of cancel culture.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah.
I hope.
Exactly.
And I do hope that things that were truly offensive now are gone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it goes back, like you said, like the one guy who opened up for you and you said, listen, you don't want to try a breast cancer joke on Long Island.
Right.
And he didn't listen and he learned the hard way.
Right.
But okay, let it be a learning moment. Evolve from it.
I don't want to cancel him. I don't want him to not work or try comedy.
Right, exactly.
That joke was offensive. Yeah. It was more than offensive. It's stupid.
It's,
I'm not offended by it. I'm just like, it's not funny.
Sometimes it's too personal
or
too
personal,
raw.
It's personal. It's not. It's just not fun to make. There were 9/11 jokes some people were making, there are still people that are affected by it.
Yeah.
I left that place. I was jumping out of a window on 9/11. Dude, that's not funny.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Right.
Maybe to sick people. So go get your sick audience.
Right.
Go play in, your own place.
Right.
But here in this club or this venue or this TV show, it's not funny.
So I wanted to talk about freedom of speech, even though you might think, well, again, freedom of speech on the Prophet Express, interesting topic. And if it affects the business of comedy, which is a whole industry, of course, with lots of people making lots of money, and this is their livelihood, I thought it was a topic worth discussing, because who knows when it will affect the sales performance coach or the accountant or the pizzeria owner. I don't know, but you know what? I want to talk about it because it was a very interesting topic to me. And that's why, as always, it's great to have on Scott Baker. He's a fan of not just my mom, okay?
Who, great lady.
But certainly a fan of the show here.
Yes.
And it's great to get your insight. You know, you've been a part of the industry for 15 years. You know, you're talking to other comedians. And I'm glad you came on board to talk about it today.
I really enjoy coming on the show, if you're here or not.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
You always got to one-up me. Just, yeah. Yeah. Come on. I gave you a mug and a T-shirt today.
Oh, yeah, the T-shirt. There's more.
And listen, if you are on Instagram, maybe we can get some downloads off the show today.
I know. Look at this wonderful T-shirt.
Look at that. Wicking material. I
can sweat and not smell.
Exactly. That's a guarantee that's on the label.
And this
it says it.
Yeah, it's even on a throw pillow, too.
You could.
I could sweat and not smell.
Yeah. How about that?
That's your Christmas gift.
Yeah.
And this doesn't come off in the wash.
Everyone, I promise.
Okay.
I've had one. I've washed it many, many times. It'll look great.
All right.
So this is the Prophet Express, wrapping up part two on the series Freedom of Speech, its impact on comedy, and also maybe, hopefully never, could it impact the rest of us in business. So as always, thanks to the people who support and love the show. Thanks to you listening. Thanks to Corbett Public Relations, who've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Visit our good friends at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Follow us. Give us a like. Follow us on YouTube and Instagram at The Prophet Express. And until next time, let's continue to win the battle for business.